The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
BC5 News, I'm Natalie Serna.
13 after 7, and we have State Senator Linthicum is going to join me here in just a moment. Brad, you wanted to weigh in, though, to talk about the price of vehicles right now. You were just mentioning that. I think this had to do with that talk with Eric about the Ram Classic, you know, going away, that sort of thing. What was on your mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, Bill, you talked about your Impala with 305. And, you know, back in the day, any GM vehicle, you know, all the bolt-ons, all traded, you know, your alternator, power steering, anything, you could just bolt it on. Spark plugs were a buck a piece. You could buy a brand-new crate motor for $2,500. I mean, and the impacts of all this have just gotten crazy. You know, a young concrete contractor I know, his truck, you know, your truck is your main tool that you have in our business. You got to have one.
Yes.
And his truck went out on him, and he went down to, and I'm not going to mention the name of the car store because I'm sure it's the same everywhere. The cheapest truck on the lot with all the discounts and everything he could get, $58,000. $58,000.
Now, that was the first house I bought in Medford in 1993. $58,000.
Well, the house that my wife and I bought was $25,000.
Wow.
But
it's okay. Don't worry, though. Don't worry. If Kamala Harris is elected president, the inflation will start going backwards, and we'll be into deflation. You watch, okay? I know.
It's crazy, Bill.
That it is. We have to choose non-crazily. Thanks for the call, Brad. Always good hearing you. It's a quarter after 7.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix.
At 7:00 KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
State Senator and current Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum rejoins the program via Skype. How you doing this morning, Dennis? Always good talking with you. How are you, sir?
You bet, Bill. Thanks for having me on this morning. It's a smoky morning over here in Klamath. There are no local fires, but the air settles in overnight. And then as the day warms up, it seems to go back to clear skies. But it always starts kind of like Soylent Green looking kind of environment.
Yikes. All right. Which fire is afflicting you most on the east?
You know, I don't really know. They're all quite a ways away, but some of them are quite large, and I think it's coming from the north down. There's several fires out there.
Yeah, Douglas County's got some. Yeah, Douglas County has some new starts. We know about that too. It's actually this morning, it's actually relatively smoke-free, which in the last couple of days have actually not been that bad. But, boy, there have been some times that you could slice the air with a knife.
Right. Well, and this is part of the state government centralized single-party rule that is so harmful to Oregonians. They don't realize that these fires are all policy-driven fires. Sure, there's a lightning start. Potentially there's a lightning start. Potentially they're coming from homeless camps. Well, where did homeless camps come from? Which policy initiated homeless camps? And why aren't the lightning starts being put out as quick as they could if we had more local control of fighting fires and we had forestry? The spotted owl back in the, you know, the early 90s, 1980, 1990, the spotted frog, the blue butterfly, you name it, these are all canards that have been foisted on the public, even global warming. You know, everybody's all shocked at the emails and the federal information freedom of information requests that highlight all of these, quote, lies that we've been told over and over and over again until thousands and millions of people believe them. But remember all of the emails that created the global warming scam, where they all got together, you know, 40,000 emails were identified where they were colluding to corroborate global warming, even though it wasn't happening. And yet that hockey stick chart is still getting pushed around.
I know. So, and you still hear the thing where, you know, 97% of climate scientists are all, you know, the consensus process here. You know, this is, you know, John from Medford was talking about a bit of this last hour here, Senator, and about it being a spiritual battle of sorts because you have so many people who are very comfortable with believing the narrative's lies. And there are so many of them that it gets hard to tease your way through it all. Well, even like a news report that was reported a couple of hours ago in which, you know, you have Tim Walz, the guy who's running for vice president under Kamala Harris, was saying, well, you know, people should not criticize, you know, someone's service. And it's like, no, we're not criticizing your service. We're criticizing that you lied about your service or have exaggerated it or, you know, have kind of dissembled it to some extent, you know, those sort of things. But truth doesn't have a lot of value in our current culture, unfortunately. I hate to say that here, Senator. That's where we find ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. And part of the problem is there's too much we have elevated opinion to fact.
Yes.
And opinions aren't facts. Opinions are just opinions. And you know, we need to even at the legislature, what happens at the legislature is a whole. Remember, the committees are organized, 5-member committees on the Senate side. 3 Democrats and 2 Republicans. So the worldview is already set before they ever throw the first pitch. And because of that, the chair of the committee, also a Democrat in the current Oregon legislature, organize who shows up, how much time they get to speak, what they're going to speak on, et cetera. So those things get stacked in up front, and we'll spend an hour and a half in a 2-hour meeting talking about all those things, all those invited, quote, guests, invited testimony comes to the mic. And they share a perspective, which is usually, you know, rent seeking. It's somebody trying to get something. It's special interest concern. Behavioral health in the latest audit was one of these concerns that we see. And
In fact, why don't we shift to that right now? I think it's important because, and by the way, I'm speaking with Secretary of State candidate, current state senator, outgoing state senator, Dennis Linthicum with us, electdennis.com. Needs help. We need to get, you know, support for Dennis out there, in my opinion, folks. I don't think you have, this is a binary choice we're looking at here, all right? And one of the reasons why, one of the most important powers other than running the elections there, Dennis, is the audit power. Now, Oregon Health Authority, this is what you're referencing this morning, Oregon Health Authority auditors. Now, are those under the Secretary of State or did they have their own auditors that found this out? I don't know. Yeah, really.
You know, I didn't dive into the specifics of it. The headline was enough to catch my eye. You know, you've had a guest on, Abigail Schreier, who's talked about bad therapy, and we have behavioral health being supported. I'm going to draw this back to your other comment about spiritual battle. We have behavioral health is the new support keyword for getting funding from the public sector, you know, getting funding from taxpayers, pushing it into behavioral health issues because we think that will solve people's problems. And it's fascinating that we've now reached out of the material world and we think it's going on inside the brain, but it's against the law in Oregon to take somebody who's gender confused and counsel them about sticking with their biological gender. That's against the law. You cannot.
It's actually against the law. This sounds like this is a state created thought crime.
It is. It's against the law. It's against the law for a Christian counselor, for a church, for a mom and dad to try and help their boy stay a boy.
Is this even if the boy wants to stay a boy?
Well, see, that's the point. He's confused. And so this is where confusion becomes king.
Oh.
If confusion is king, the state runs the game because they love it when everybody's confused. This is why the media stories that you see are so rancid with far left and far right and this guy's a liar and that guy's a liar and everybody's a liar. And then somebody says, well, the answer we need is behavioral health. That sounds like it's good. And everybody nods their head in approval. Yes, behavioral health. The audit you're referring to was $80 million in behavioral health funding that appears not to have worked. And so the question is, where did that $80 million go and what did we buy? It's a little bit like asking, like I did at the Transportation Committee a week ago, for the $1.5 billion we spent on designing a new I-5 bridge into Washington State, where did that money go? And you can't find it. Sure, if you did a records request, you could maybe get a simple drawing of the bridge design, but you would never get the full spec sheets of the bridge design. Where did that $1.5 billion go? This is the same thing. Where did all this $80 million go? And we're always left with a binary choice. If you don't spend money on veterans, you hate veterans.
If you don't spend money on behavioral health, you hate behavioral health. I'm kind of going back to this audit. I wanted to focus on that just a little bit, though, because it shows, though, why having a smart Secretary of State who is there to be a check on the system, not to sit around there and be a lickspittle for the system. That would be you, by the way, okay? Not being a lickspittle, all right? All right?
Right. Well, I hope to convince people of that as we get closer to the time when people start thinking of it. The agency is unable to show effectiveness in behavioral health because there are no metrics. You cannot show effectiveness, actually, in the transgender arena because there are no metrics there. What's the medical definition
It's like so much about in our culture right now.
World.
Well, so much of it, Dennis, is about the feels, is about the feelings, right? It's about feelings rather than anything which is actionable. Back on this audit that you're talking about here, but look at what the intent of the legislature was of the money that they tossed into Oregon health authorities, like, you know, multi-billion-dollar agency. It's insane how much money sloshes around that agency. And what they did is that they wanted to hire a diverse workforce in behavioral health. So it didn't matter if you were really good at behavioral health. It really mattered as if you were ticking the right races and or ethnicities here, because they were trying to, as they like to say, reach marginalized communities and rural pockets of the state where mental health care is scarce. And I guess, so in other words, if it was a white doctor or white mental health care worker, that wouldn't have qualified, right? That wouldn't have been right. That was the metrics that was put up. That was what was put up by the state legislature. And a proper audit would say, hey, listen, the goal was insane, to try to do this.
Well, yeah, see, this is the same thing. What are the metrics used for DEI? How do you determine one candidate is better than another candidate if the skill set is off the paper? Are we going with, language skills? Nope, we can't judge language skills. Are we going with math skills? Nope, you can't judge math skills.
They're just going with color of their skin skills. Tests? Color of their skin skills. And that's dangerous when you're talking about mental health, right?
It's extremely dangerous. The answer coming from OHA is, well, we did increase participation from organizations that serve. So they didn't increase necessary participation from individuals who are from rural or diverse communities. It was increased participation from agencies, i.e. for-profit nonprofits, that serve diverse and rural communities.
Oh.
So there's a middleman there that nobody seems to recognize and see. The department, OHA, would be held accountable, and we could audit their books. But they slough this fund off to agencies, so they give grants. And they also said they made the grant process simpler and straightforward. Okay, in other words, they removed any restrictions that would cause people to think, difficult thoughts about how do you fill out a grant application.
Mm-hmm.
Can do you serve diverse people? Yeah. And
of course I do. Yeah.
Of course I do. Right. Of course I do is the standard answer.
Yeah, of course I do. Give me my grant money. Right.
Right.
Give me my grant money. Well, that's like what we have right now in the homeless industrial complex here in Southern Oregon. Yes. We've talked about that several times, in which people's living now comes from making sure that there are a lot of homeless people in need of services. Hmm.
Right. And because there's now that it's off into a non-governmental organization, the Secretary of State doesn't have the ability to audit that. You have the ability to review the paperwork that they file with the state or with the federal government, whether they're a federal agency or non-government agency.
Hey, let me interject here, Senator. Is there a chance then that Oregon Health Authority wants more of these grants taken outside of Oregon Health Authority and going to these nonprofit rackets because you, as Secretary of State, couldn't audit them?
Absolutely.
That's
exactly why this is done. This is done because it's a powerhouse slush fund for the majority party. They can do as they please with all of these agencies. You'll see this over and over and over again where money is getting spent. And then the answer coming back from this audit, the response is there are shortcomings in insufficient outreach to rural and underserved communities. You know, so that's what that's the result they came up with. They spent all the money. And then they come around and say, and our problem is we didn't have sufficient depth into those communities. That's because the NGOs are sitting there spending the money as they please on their salary, benefits, compensation, wages, et cetera. And the poor people on the street never actually make it to the front door of OHA to serve the public.
All right. Well, maybe as Secretary of State, you audit OHA and say, and you can come up back with a conclusion that, hey, listen, this offloading responsibility to these NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, which essentially are friends of the Democratic Party, okay? That's really what we're talking about this morning. That's something real. But you could approach that in an audit in some form or another, could you not?
Well,
or not?
Yeah. And I think the more we talk about these, this is where the public really needs to see the honest truth of this conversation, because we live under the single party rule model, and we've been under this model for decades.
Which is why there needs to be a different party in the Secretary of State, Dennis. That's why there needs to be a check on it. There is no check on state agency power right now with a Democrat Secretary of State. You just can't do it. You just can't.
Yeah, well, anybody, remember, on your ballot, there's a Democrat and there's a Republican. Dennis Linthicum is the Republican. That's me. You're going to want to vote for the opposition party, i.e. the Republican, because he's got skeptical specs on. He's got his eyeglasses on. He's asking tough questions.
Yeah, and if we were a Republican-controlled state, I would probably say maybe you'd have a Democrat,
right.
Looking at the other side, You want the other team. You want the other team taking a look at this rather than everybody in the same room into the group think. All right. So that's why head to electdennis.com. Please support it, because we need a Republican Secretary of State for sure to provide some checks and balances on state agency power like this amazing Oregon Health Authority that just manages to suck in billions of dollars of tax money. Hey, Dennis, let me grab a quick call here. I'm hoping they wanted to talk with you. Did you want to talk with Dennis Linthicum or not this morning? Welcome.
Hey, it's Wild Salmon, Bill.
Yeah, Steve, you want to make a comment with Dennis this morning?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
When you were talking about the NGOs, you forgot about one part. They pay their employees a lot, but they also contribute a lot back to the Democratic Party.
Hmm.
Yeah, that deserves a looky-see, right? I'm not sure how.
I'll bet you. Yeah, I will bet you that's what's happening.
So it's essentially a circular money pit or a circular money money path. Then okay, all right, Dennis. I appreciate you coming on as always. And are you going to start doing some campaigning up in the northern part of the state? That's where you're going to have to persuade some minds, I have a feeling.
Right. You know, I answered a question incorrectly last night on the 5 on 5. I did the KOBI NBC 5 interview, 5 on 5. You can go to their website and watch the interview. And they asked a question. They asked different questions than they asked my opponent. But they asked a question that said, how are you going to get into the northern counties of the state, just like you're asking?
Right.
And I went and said there's 30% Republican, 30% Democrat, and 40% NAVs. And I talked about the NAVs and targeting the NAVs and whatever. But I think the story is actually different than that as I walked away from that interview. I think the story is the 70% of Oregon is already voting for me. They can't stand the horror show that's happening in all areas of public health, whether it's an audit on spending levels, whether it's ODOT, whether it's OHA, whether it's public safety, whether it's fentanyl, whether it's cartels. There was a cartel bust in my county, Klamath County, where they were taking 300,000 gallons of water without a legal water permit, et cetera. And so all of these areas, the homelessness, the camps, the wanderers in our streets, everybody is mad as a hornet on all of these things, and they're not going to continue. The Democrats basically don't have a chance because they simply take your money and promise to solve your problems, but they can't possibly solve the problems they've created because they've created so many and lit so many forest fires. We feel like the place is burning down around us. And so the problem that the Democrats face is keeping this lie alive, and I don't think they can do it. We're going to get into those counties with precision digital marketing. I'll be at several – I've got events on my calendar, okay. And it will be good to see people in those communities. Unfortunately, I don't really have a keen method on getting a public space in the Democrat territories because they control those areas so strongly, but I can get in front of a lot of people.
All right. Very good. Dennis, always a pleasure. We'll have to talk to you soon, and you be well, and Godspeed. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings back.
All See right. You. And once again, electdennis.com, 737 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG in Grants Pass, too, for that matter. All right. We're going to break for news, catch up on some of what's been going on here. And also, we're going to have a conversation with a woman who had an interesting conversation with the ag manager or people involved with the 4-H, because there's been a lot of controversy in Joe County given the lack of funding or the funding that has been yanked from the Oregon State University Extension Service, right? County Extension Service. And the conversation, I think, is kind of interesting. We'll share some of that coming up.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Joel here from Butler Ford and Truck Center, and hey, I know I get excited in these ads and I start talking loud and fast, but hey, that's because I genuinely love Ford trucks and SUV. I own Fords. My family and friends drive Fords. I've been selling Fords at Butler for over 21 years to happy customers like you who've made Butler Ford the highest Google-rated Ford store in Oregon. So when I see a good deal on a Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV, I get excited to tell you about it. And right now, I'm excited that you can pay only $399 a month to lease a Ford F-150 4x4. Pay $399 a month, drive it for 3 years, then come back and get a new one. I also want you to know that interest rates on the new Ford Escape are down to 2.9% for 75 months. 2.9% for 75 months? So yes, I get excited about saving our customers money on a new Ford. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, certified pre-owned, and your savings.
36-month lease to qualifying trading customers with $63.58 to assigning, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on stock number 59693 and selling price of $52,905 after all rebates and discounts. 75 monthly payments of $14.59 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit through Ford Credit. See dealer for more details.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience in thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. It's a tax so bad that even Oregon's most tax-friendly Democrats are against it. Ballot Measure 118 would tax businesses 3% of their gross revenues to give each Oregonian about $1,600 a year. Oregon's top Democratic leaders in a letter say it'll hurt companies of all sizes and lead to higher prices for all Oregonians. It would increase taxes on businesses about $6.5 billion a year. A new Wallet Hub report analyzed the best states to live, ranking Oregon among the top 10 worst states. Researchers looked at livability factors from housing costs and income growth to education rates and the hospital system, along with crime and insurance. Oregon came in as the ninth worst state. Cooler temperatures are providing much needed relief for crews battling in the nearly two dozen large fires burning in Oregon. But there's another possibility of thunderstorms east of the Cascades beginning Thursday and stretching into the weekend. From the KMED News Center, I'm Bill London.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
The song Our House by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young only reached number 30 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1970, but it stands the test of time. If you have a very, very, very fine house, Millett Construction wants to help you keep it that way. So if the vase that you bought today looks a bit tilted on the table, it might be a sloping floor due to a shifting foundation. Call Millett Construction for an inspection and estimate to permanently correct the issue so your house stands the test of time, too. MilletteConstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
7:42. Appreciate you waking up here this Wheels Up Wednesday. And we have Karen joining me. Hello, Karen. Good to have you on from Joe County.
Good morning.
What's going on with
you?
Thank you. What's going on with your bad self this morning when it comes to some conversations you were having? And you're associated or you have some kids or you're associated with Joe's Place in Joe County,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, tell us a little bit about Joe's Place first for those who may have no clue of what we're talking about, because it's all combined with this OSU Extension Service funding brouhaha and, you know, he said, she said, playing out in the Daily Courier and elsewhere. And so what is it with Joe's Place and the 4-H?
Joe's Place. Yeah. Joe's Place, my son has been associated with Joe's Place for 4 years. He's a special needs child.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 15. Joe's Place started with it stands for Jesus above
probably everything, right?
Yeah, but yes, thank mm-hmm. you. Anyways, it has two locations, one in Cave Junction and one in Grants Pass. And just the last year they served 75 different high school, middle schoolers per day, 100 in Grants Pass, 200 in Cave Junction, especially the need in Cave Junction because of the poverty levels. They served underprivileged and in need youth is what they do. And before 4-H debacle, nobody really knew much about Joe's Place. So Joe's Place decided to start these kids in 4-H to help them do things that they would never have opportunities to do, which is what Dose Place does, by the way. They take kids on, like, just this year, 9 different adventures. In fact, my kids are in Reading at the water slides right now. They took 40 kids that wouldn't necessarily have opportunities to do that. Dose Place tutors kids. They mentor kids. They feed kids. They do amazing things for the youth. And
by the way, Karen, how is this paid for? Is it a volunteer type thing? Where does the money come from?
It's a volunteer nonprofit.
Okay.
They substantiate themselves completely in every way. So they joined the 4-H initially in 2020, and they were part of SSB. And there was only 9 of us, including my son, and they grew it. And they've done really well with it. These kids never even saw a pig in real life, kind of thing.
All right. So Joe's existed outside of 4-H and then more or less got into or partnered with with 4-H at some point then.
Yeah.
Right?
Initially, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Initially. And then a debacle started happening about two plus years ago, when the Oregon State 4-H had a representative come down and basically say to both Joe's Place, who has a cross on their shirt, and Faithful Farmers, that they found, because of their new bylaw policies, that's not inclusive enough, and that they're to not be able to wear their crosses on their shirts.
Huh.
In fact, at one point 2 years ago, they wanted the kids to turn their shirts inside out.
Wow.
So in doing so...
The cross is kind of an obscenity to the... to the 4-H line of thinking, or at least the agency, the way the agency was looking at it.
Right, right. And the thing is that they were told that they could wear the cross as long as they represented every religion, so it's inclusive.
Okay.
So
oh, kind of silly. Okay. So if the Satanic Church were to come to the to Joe's Place, then you would then have to put the pentagram along with the...
Yes.
Okay. Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because that's the whole DEI...
Well, inclusive means no standards. You know, you can't have a standard. If you have a standard of conduct or something, that can't happen. That can't happen because someone's feels might be hurt. I'm being a little sarcastic. Sorry about that, Karen. I hear this kind of stuff and my eyes glaze. Okay. All right.
Yeah, no, I understand. And you have to understand that Joe's Place is a faith-based youth service.
Mm-hmm.
So what they decided to do is they decided that they were going to break away. They were going to form their own Kids in Ag. Because they didn't want to follow the policies that were handed down that take away our fundamental rights.
And that was from the state of Oregon, the Oregon State University Extension, County Extension Service, right? That's what that...
So this comes from, it comes from OSU that runs the 4-H programs in their bylaws that they rewrote back in December of 2022. So it's in the bylaws. They had to do that probably because the state of Oregon told them they don't get federal funding unless they put that in their bylaws, which we saw a lot happen with universities and everywhere. So that's probably, you know, that. But Joe's Place decided that we're not going to do that. I think that, at least for me, a lot of us in the community here in Josephine County saw how when government started pulling funding and threatened funding to do things that were harmful to us and took our freedoms away, that we started standing up. Which is exactly what Joe's Place did. They stood up. And when they stood up, 85% of the 4-H joined them. Not because they were forced to, nothing of that capacity. They all understood the fundamental fact that the government is trying to, through OSU, fundamentally take away our rights.
Yeah, and also dictate policy. Dictate policy, yeah. dictate religious affiliations when it comes to... I mean, nothing was stopping other religions or faiths from opening up a club. I don't think there were until all of a sudden they said, you either take everybody or you take no one, I guess is really where 4-H came from. Okay.
Right. So they just decided to form their own organization, seek local help and community help, and 85% of the kids in 4-H joined them.
Okay. All right. So 4-H got essentially had the stuffing knocked out of it. With this departure of the Joe's Place and Faithful Farmers, right? You know, that kind of thing. All right. So now we were at this point where there's been all sorts of incoming with the county commission deciding not to send money to the extension service. All right. This is even part about getting involved in election issues here now.
Yep.
But and so Then there was a couple of weeks ago, the pig pens were taken away by the 4-H, and then they ended up getting taken back with the influence of some, like John West and others that were working this. So what happened, now that you've explained from your point of view, the Joe's Place 4-H debacle, OSU extension funding, et cetera, what was it like when you were conversing with people at the county fair in Joe County? What was going on there? I thought that was a very interesting discussion.
Yeah. So the first year, because this is not new, this has been happening in the last couple of years. The first year, kind of people really weren't talking too much about it. They're kind of seeing what's going on for themselves. But this particular year, I just by happenstance and a splinter in my finger got to meet a guy named Charlie, who's the ag manager with the Master Gardeners program. I sat with him as he was trying to help my splinter, and he began to talk to me. And I did not have my Joe's Place shirt on. I just was in my regular garb. He didn't know anything about me, didn't know anything about what I knew.
No, you were incognito. All right.
Yes.
All right.
So I sat with him, and he has this billboard behind him with all the Daily Courier little snippets and stuff. And he says, yeah, we're going to have to shut down the Master Gardeners program because of, this place called Joe's Place, and just because of the cross. And I went, really? And so this began the conversation that me and him had for an hour plus, in which he did a lot of the talking, and I just listened and would ask some poignant questions, right? Knowing what I know, but ask some poignant questions. And I found it to be kind of really disheartening. I feel like Charlie was very, very obviously upset at OSU and the Master Gardeners program, but also very upset with commissioners and West at the same time. But when I would ask him poignant questions, because I go over the funding and all that, he just didn't have any answers for me.
Okay, what kind of questions? If you can give me an example, what questions did you ask? Because they're turning this into a big political brouhaha right now. I know Lily Morgan, former state rep, Lily Morgan, former has done this petition to withdraw West, and I think it's completely insane. But that's just my opinion. I don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak. But
right.
All right. What are these people that are trying to upend everything? Why, where are they coming from on this?
Well, where they're coming from is, it's very emotionally based and it's very vague, right? So when I asked him in particularly how much of the budget goes to the Master Gardener programs, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't tell me. And then he would say things like,
well, that was one of the problems that the commissioners had. They didn't want to give they didn't want to just give a blank check to OSU's extension service, to help pay for their people.
No, it's insane. But he talked about the buildings they need to keep. And I asked, well, is anyone in those buildings? He's like, well, we use them sometimes, but we have to maintain them. We have to pay to maintain them. I go, well, they're not being used. We had this back and forth conversation. I didn't do a lot of talking. He did most of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
And what was very interesting about it is I said, shouldn't you be more mad at the Master Gardeners and OSU for not helping you out? Isn't their whole purpose is to help you out if you are at a, default or need funding or need anything? I mean, you guys, and he got really mad about it because he's like, well, yeah, he says that every volunteer hour they get through the Master Gardeners program, the OSU gets paid for federally. And to be in the Master Gardeners program, it requires at least 40 hours a year to start right off the bat. And they pay $150 dues. They said, shouldn't you be more mad at them? And he's like, well, there's no purpose in fighting them, is what he told me. There's no reason. So what we have to do is change our commissioners and get rid of West.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said, well, how is that going to help? And he's like, well, that's going to teach them a lesson.
Oh.
And I go, but that's not going to help you this year. And he says, well, they're shutting us down. And I said, can they shut you down? Well, they're basically shutting us down, is what he said. What makes this so very interesting.
Okay. Now the thing is, though, you looked at the bylaws and the commissioners didn't shut them down, did they?
Right. This is what makes it so interesting. As I said to Charlie, I said, I thanked him first time. I thanked him for talking to me. I said, I'm going to look into this and I'm going to get back to you. So this was on a Thursday. Saturday, I come back in my Joe shirt. And there's three of them standing there. And I said, Charlie, I looked over all your stuff. I also looked over to the financials and your bylaws. which I did. And I quoted his bylaws to him that says in his bylaws that the only way they can dissolve the Master Gardener's class or the Master Gardener program here is if OSU decides to do it or the club here locally decides to do it. Nobody can shut them down. Okay, they have to shut themselves down. And he's upset because if they do shut down, all of their resources and all of their stuff here gets reintroduced to OSU into their grant funding, mm-hmm. into their nonprofit. Which, by the way, yeah. And so I said to him, well, have you guys talked to them about getting any of these grants or funding? And they have quite a slush fund. I've looked into it.
In other words, getting funding outside of the county levy that was taken right. away by the county commission.
Right.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, well, there's no point. And I said, well, it seems to me that your best bet is to become autonomous because we can't justify the funding that's going here. When we lost 85% of the 4-H kids.
Yeah, yeah. And so why would you be taking all that tax money and sending it to OSU, you know, right. the County Extension Service here, and essentially yeah. backfilling OSU when right. they're not serving the kids that this was supposedly done for in the first place? The levy, from what I understand, was not about Master Gardeners. Was not about Master Gardeners.
Even on their website, they're like, we're here for counties and we're here for the people and we're here to help everybody. And I'm like, so I asked him. I said to him, I said, well, have you guys tried that avenue? And he just kind of sloughed it off. And I go, I have a list in front of me of every fiscal representative, both at SOU and your local division. I said, have you tried having your people contact or email or pressure them to do this? And I also showed them in their bylaws where they have the DEI bylaws. Because what they don't understand is that may affect Joe's Place right now. But if they stay in this box, it's going to affect them later.
Yeah.
The only way to be is autonomous. And so I said, I want to help you. I want this program. I think it's a great program. The program itself, they're wonderful people. These people have spent so much time and energy and love into this. Mm-hmm. But they're being dictated, their bylaws. In fact, he was mad because he had to sign a contract with the Master Gardeners program saying that they no longer have their own bylaws. They only go to the OSU bylaws. So they can't dictate their own stuff anymore. And he was mad about that. And I said, well, that's kind of how this continues. I said, but, you know, trying to go with the funding that with the 4-H funding right now is a really hard push. But I want to help you.
OK, so it doesn't sound like anyone is interested in really doing anything to help get themselves out from underneath the boot of OSU. And they would rather throw a hissy fit and do recalls on people who, well, they cut our money. And because of this, it got shut down. And because, right, that kind of thing. Is that sort of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but what's super ironic about this has been down the pipeline for 2 years. They have quarterly meetings and representatives mm-hmm. that should have been advocating for them. They didn't. Now, either they didn't advocate for themselves, number one, or number two, OSU just shut them down. Either
yeah.
one. I don't know. But there are avenues to do this. I think that if they did even a GoFundMe on the Daily Courier, that they would get a huge response from the community, and they could start to be autonomous, and they can start being self-relevant. They wouldn't have to, you know, get permission every time they sneeze from OSU as to far as what they could do in the community and for themselves. But they didn't seem to have any interest in that. They were literally just like, no, we'll just shut it down, I guess.
Yeah.
I asked Harley, what are you going to do?
Okay, says, Karen, well, I think ultimately, I think this the people affected by this county extension service issue, which we've been talking about for a long, long time here with various commissioners, whether it's West or Bear Chigger, as it were, this is being leveraged as a political hit, I think, is what's really going on here. That's what's going on here. I think that's what, in my opinion, what former Commissioner Lily Morgan may be involved in and various other. In other words, we have to just take out, we have the wrong line of thinking going on in these boards rather than it really being about, oh, look, they're starving the kids out of this. And look, what about the, who's going to, well, like people would write me, who's going to inspect my pressure cooker, as if somehow we would never inspect pressure cookers without the Oregon State University Extension Agency here.
There's this false notion. There's this false notion, I think, that's been given to people that without government assistance, your community couldn't pull it off themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
the wrong notion.
It's a learned
this
helplessness.
A
you know, yes. the money, the tax money was a learned helplessness, is encouraged learned helplessness,
yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yes. We have extremely wonderful, knowledgeable people here, and I've talked to so many of them that have helped me personally, who are willing to teach people, who are willing to be there for people, and the notion that we have to depend solely on them to take care of ourselves is a problem.
All right.
And that is what they don't want. That's why they're trying to push this way. And they're trying to get themselves out of a box by putting themselves in a smaller box. And they just don't even seem to understand that concept. Now, either they don't understand the concept, or
they don't want to understand it because it's much easier to just lay back, tax the citizens of Josephine County, and have the proper commissioners continue to tax people so that we can continue to fund a, in my opinion, corrupt Oregon State University system that is trying to stamp their DEI boot on everybody in Southern Oregon, in my view. Okay.
When I looked over the financials, even for OSU and the amount of money that comes in for the Oregon State or a Master Gardeners program and OSU and Slushlands, and even locally here, by the way, with Measure 1578, Bond 80 and 81, the amount of money that's coming in is unbelievable, Bill. Unbelievable.
Then so where's it going?
I don't want them to be. Well, when the money goes to OSU, for OSU to dictate to us where we're going to put the money.
Yeah, there, and there you go.
It, we pay. And on top of it, even these 4-H kids pay the 4-H at OSU entry fees. So when you have 215 kids showed this year, and that's the kids that actually showed. That's not the ones that didn't make weight. That's $25 to $30 per kid that goes to them. The Master Gardeners program, $150. Each person that participates go to them. So besides the local money they're getting from here, they're also getting federal money. And they're also getting all kinds of grants, all kinds of other monies all over the place. The reason they don't want to independently fund the Master Gardeners here, in my belief, is because they want pressure on the community to keep everybody to keep going along with what 4-H wants them to get along with.
And so 4-H, of course, is – and there's a reason why 4-H has been nicknamed Woke H now. There's a reason. You know, this is – and if you take away their money, you take away a Wokester's money – you're taking away their political power. And 4-H, in my opinion, like what they did to Joe's place, say, oh, you know, you can wear that cross on your shirt, but you're going to have to turn it inside out, okay? We wouldn't want too many people offended by that, all right? Okay, I think we can understand a bit what's going on here, all right?
Yeah, the only way to stop this is to stand up, be localized, be autonomous, and stop the funding, because we've seen this everywhere, that when you stop the funding to an organization, a corporation, or a government entity, they start making and changing their bylaws to conform to what you, the person who's contributing the money, wants instead of what they want.
And what you were dealing with a couple of years ago with Joe's Place was because of a bylaw change that was intentionally done by Oregon State University and the Extension Service.
Yes.
Okay? All
yes.
right. There we go. I'll tell you what, Karen, I appreciate you sharing your experience here and how, everybody wants to, there's a big pressure to stay helpless and then lash out at the county commission, which I thought actually did the right thing, just my opinion. But the only way you're going to take care of these wokesters and politically undue influenced organizations like OSU Extension Service is that you need to yank their funding and find another way to do these programs yourselves, all right? Karen, thanks so much for the talk. I appreciate you checking in, all right?
Thank you for the time, Bill. You have a great day.
All right. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.